My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Wait, what? Oh, never mind.
What?
I read my notes wrong, and I thought that I had accidentally erased all of the GLACTs, but I didn't. I just got confused by my formatting. Yeah, it would have been.
It's not like they exist anywhere else on the internet.
They don't. Write these ourselves.
I know, literally.
Literally, we have been etching them in stone.
Mm-hmm.
We have little...
Since 2009.
Like a metal spike, and then we take a hammer.
Uh-huh.
And we put them in stone tablets. If I had erased those GLACTs, that's freaking 2 years of my life gone.
Seriously.
That I spent on season 4, episode 11, Sadie Hawkins.
Mm.
For the betterment of mankind.
Worth it? No.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Un, deux, trois, cinquaroni.
Oh, I thought you were going to be French for that one, too.
No, that was funny. I should have. Cinquaroni.
That's one of my favorite things to do, is to go to the park with Caden and sit on a bench and pretend to smoke a cigarette because I'm not cool enough to smoke a cigarette and pretend like I'm a French person. You know every person who smoke, well, maybe not every person, there are like murderers who smoke cigarettes, but you know, you see like a young person who's smoking a cigarette and you're like, that person is mad cool. You know that, I know that. We have said these words to each other.
No, I agree that having something between your fingers that you move to and from your mouth makes you feel powerful. I agree. But I am not going to back up what freaking Big Tobacco and Big Nicotine tried to push for 50 years and say that cool people smoke cigarettes and that you don't smoke because you're not cool enough. No, you don't smoke because it's very bad for your lungs.
That's true. That is true.
I don't want to have a bunch of listeners get lung cancer because they heard on our podcast that smoking was cool.
Oh my God, your PSA for the day.
You know how I don't spend 8 hours a day in a tanning booth because I'm not cool enough? You know how I don't just like walk into toxic waste plants and just kind of like touch everything because I'm not cool enough?
Oh my God. You know what? You're right. You've taught me today.
Shoot,
you really
heard
have
first,
learned
everyone.
Me something good. No, but that's true. But I do like to go to the park and pretend to smoke a cigarette and and just pretend to be a French person and just like wish I had some bread. You know what I mean?
No, I get that. And you know me, I will not even have something between my fingers and I will do the little back and forth pretend that there's a cigarette there because it does feel powerful.
At real life adult parties with like our adult friends and like pretended to smoke cigarettes.
And your point is, are you saying that there's a level of cool that's greater than that? Because frankly, I think the people who do smoke cigarettes aren't cool enough to pretend to be smoking a cigarette at an adult business party. Frankly.
I guess so.
The peak of coolness. A phantom cigarette that is not part of a bit. You're not doing it to be funny. You truly are just doing it.
No, just doing it because it feels good. Oh my God. Welcome to your podcast. This is Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. We're happy to have you here. What is your name, stranger?
Well, stranger, my name is Ian Allred, and Gall, I guess if we like go around the class and share a fun fact about ourselves, my fun fact is that I'm a Gleek. Stranger, what is your name?
Well, stranger named Ian, my name is actually Lena Knatzer, and I don't know. What?
I was shocked that
have you heard
name
of
Lena
me?
Knat-
oh.
Yes.
Oh, great. my reputation precedes
me. I went
me.
To a psychic, and a psychic told me that my life would be changed by someone named Lena Knatzer.
For the worse, I hope.
I'll never tell.
But my fun fact is I actually am also a Gleek, so holler back.
What? Few times I've been so around cool. that track, but it ain't just gonna happen like that because I ain't no hollaback girl.
This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Remember True. That song taught me how to spell the word bananas.
Honestly, me too a little bit. And I think I was too old for it to have taught me how to spell bananas.
Yeah, I don't think I was like spelling bananas very frequently like in my class. So I think that actually was the thing that taught me how to spell bananas. You know what I mean?
It's just like, it's a lot of syllables and you like really have to sit down and think and be like, how many nas are in there?
Totally.
And Gwen Stefani really just streamlined that.
She's like, this many.
She's like, B-A-N-A-N-A-S and done. Period.
Perfect. Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Well, are you ready to talk about this episode?
Absolutely.
Amazing. I am actually not ready. There's actually something that I need you to do to help me get ready. And that's tell me a little bit about this episode. Do you have any information about this episode for me?
I got some glacks for you.
Oh, yeah. It's time for the glacks.
So, Sadie Hawkins is season 4, episode 11. It's the 77th episode overall. Holy cow.
Wow.
It aired on January 24th, 2013. It was written by my best friend, your best friend. Very big supporter of our podcast. He like came to my birthday celebration last year. Just like a really stand-up guy. Yeah. Always there for us. Ross Maxwell. Love you, Ross.
Love you, Ross.
Can't wait to hang out with you next week.
I actually, I'm planning to get coffee with him this weekend.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
He told me he could hang out on Saturday. Whatever, it's fine.
I can talk to him and see if he...
No, I don't want to do that thing where then like I'm only invited because like he felt bad for me and it's just like so awkward the whole time. It's just like whatever. It's just like it's just like him.
You know, that is something that really bugs me about Ross is I feel like he's always like going around like behind people's backs and doing stuff like this. And that makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, do I just not go at this point? Because it's like, I don't want like now it's like I've got blood on my hands because, you know,
I
don't want to hurt my friend like that, even inadvertently.
I think you should go. I think you should go. Like, he invited you. Clearly, he likes you more than he likes me. Like, clearly.
Let's not say that.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like Ross always puts on the show if he's like such a great guy and like he loves everyone. And then he's always pulling stuff like this.
No, I totally get that. Like, well, I mean, I'll let you know. Well, I'll let you know how it goes. I know he's going through a tough time right now.
He's always going through a tough time.
Oh my God.
Well, maybe
this is why he didn't invite you.
So you're saying it's my fault?
No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying he's going through something and you're giving him a tough time.
What? I hope you have a freaking great time with your best friend, Ross Maxwell. Maybe you can start a podcast with him. Anyways.
Who is Ross Maxwell?
I looked at the other episodes he wrote and frankly forgot what they all were.
Ross Maxwell. He wrote
Dance with Somebody in season 3. And something else in season 3 that I remember being like, that's a pretty good episode.
Okay.
What was the other one?
I'll ask him when we get coffee on Saturday.
Yeah, ask him when you guys get coffee on Saturday. He wrote Hold On to 16.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yes. And it's directed, Sadie Hawkins, is directed by your friend and mine, longtime director of Glee, Bradley Bucher. Songs in this episode. We got I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar, performed by Miss Tina Cohen Chang. This is...
No, don't say it.
After 3.5 years being on this TV show, the first time that Tina has ever gotten a second solo in a season.
Okay. I thought you were going to tell me that was like her last solo for a second.
Oh no, she's got like, she's got more coming up.
But I was thinking the worst. So honestly, I'm happy that wow she has that. But that's also so crazy. She's been on the show since the beginning. She slammed her crotch in the pilot.
True, she did.
Wow.
Another fact about the song is this is the song that Lea Michele used as her audition for Spring Awakening. Shoot. Do you know who else is in that production of Spring Awakening?
Jenna Ushkowitz. Hey, yo.
Then we got Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot, mm-hmm. performed by the Adam's Apples.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some very infamous controversy about this performance.
Totally.
So Glee does this like fun, stripped down, folksy rendition of Baby Got Back, which is a version that was created by the singer Jonathan Colton. Mm-hmm. However, you would never know that this was a version created by Jonathan Colton because Fox never credits him at all in the episode. They never did, and they didn't pay him a penny. Jonathan Colton has actually said that Fox did contact him, but the only reason they contacted him was to make sure that he knew that he had no legal right to the arrangement, because according to legalities, all of the credit goes to the original writer of the song, not to any cover artists. So he had no grounds to sue them because he just did a cover of the song. Not that Jonathan Colton was going to sue them.
Yeah.
And Fox told him that he should be happy for the exposure, even though they didn't credit him. So it's not like it was bringing a bunch of Jonathan Colton fans. Yeah, because
I remember hearing about this maybe 2-ish years ago, you know, I had no idea that this was an arrangement that someone else did. I thought it was Glee. Mm-hmm. Glee's always doing stuff like this, you know?
And, you know, plenty of people cover songs and reinvent them and whatever. It's not just and Jonathan Colton sang Baby Got Back. He wrote an entirely original melody for this piece. He really, really changed the song. Mm-hmm. And so it is so blatantly, obviously a ripoff of his song. He even changed one of the lyrics, and the Glee version has his changed lyric in it.
That's so messed up.
And they gave him zero credit.
Messed up, on an artistry level and a financial level. You know that they made so much money on this song, even if people weren't outright streaming this one. But they probably made so much money on this song. They made so much money on this episode. They're not pressed for cash. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's really fucked up.
Yeah.
To A, take someone's work and then I don't know, get money for it. It's so fucked up.
But after this episode aired, Jonathan Colton then re-released his version of Baby Got Back on iTunes with all of the proceeds going to charity, and he relabeled it the Glee version as a little F you to Glee.
Wow. Go Jonathan Colton.
Some fun facts about this performance is this performance features Joey Richter of Star Kid fame as one of the Adam's Apples, making him the third Star Kid alum to appear in Glee. The first, of course, being the one and only Darren Criss.
Mm-hmm.
The second being Kurt Mega, who plays Nick in the Warblers, I think.
Okay.
He's just, one of the Warblers that's always there.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that Kurt Mega is shown in this episode during the sectionals flashback. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he is, which means that all three Star Kid alum are in this episode.
That's awesome.
Then the next song we have is Tell Him by Burt Burns, but specifically the Exciters version, mm-hmm. performed by Brittany and Marley. This is the second time the song has appeared on the show. The first time was during Silly Love Songs. It played in the background at Rachel Kurt and Mercedes Sleepover, a question that I got wrong on Madison's Recovering Gleek quiz that she sent us a few weeks ago.
Yes, I remember.
Then we got No Scrubs by TLC, performed by the New Directions Boys. Locked Out of Heaven by Bruno Mars, performed by the New Directions girls, specifically Marlene Unique. Mm-hmm. I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos, performed by Ryder with Artie, Joe, and Unique as backup. And then finally, Sadie Hawkins Dance by Reliant K. Oh, wait, no, that song isn't in this episode because they're huge idiots. Literally, why is that song not in this episode?
I feel like Reliant K is one of those bands that, like, everyone kind of knows, but no one, like, knows. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I think Sadie Hawkins is the only song I know by Reliant K.
Really? I know a bunch because I've really cornered the market on like sad indie girl tins. And they've got a whole album on like Enneagram types that I really like too.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I don't know that album, but I do know what you're talking about.
It is pretty cool.
Other notes about this episode. This features the first appearance of Oliver Kieran Jones as Adam Crawford, Kurt's new love interest and leader of the show choir, The Adam's Apples. Also, it features the return of fan favorite Lauren Zices, performed by Ashley Fink. We have not seen her since apparently Asian F in season 3 because she's like hidden somewhere in Who Run the World. But I mean, I'm sure
she's certainly in the bleachers. I'm thinking
somewhere in that crowd. But the last time she has spoken was season 3, episode 1, Purple Piano Project. Also, doesn't make sense for Lauren to be in this episode. I'm glad she is.
But I need to make a correction. What I'm thinking of is Sleeping at Last, not Reliant K. They made the Enneagram album. Another band that is very similar in the niche indie girl sadness like corner of
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about. Sorry, Reliant K, and also sorry to Sleeping at Last.
Girls, ask the guys, it's always a surprise. There's nothing better, baby. Do you like my sweater? So, doesn't make sense that Lauren Zices is in this episode because she should have graduated. Since in season 2, she was running for junior prom queen, meaning she was a junior in season 2. So I guess she got held back. Shoot, pulled a Britney S. Pierce, I guess.
Maybe it's one of the, like, a vocal adrenaline situation where the wrestling team is keeping her on. You know, they keep failing her on purpose to keep her on the team.
I like that. I like that idea. This is the second episode in the whole series to feature no scenes filmed in the choir room. The first episode was the first time in season 3. And also, you know, Glee, its best days are behind it. You know, it's not as popular as it once was.
Don't tell the TikTok that you said that.
No, this is not about quality. I'm talking about Glee is not as popular as it once was. That is a cold hard fact.
Got it. People get mad when.
Yeah. When I say that season 4 is not as good as the seasons that preceded it, people do get a little defensive, and that's fine. So in Australia, this, you know, Glee was still had its nice, cushy primetime spot because it had been like one of the biggest shows ever. In Australia, this episode, Sadie Hawkins, had one of the worst recorded ratings for a primetime slot. And in fact, it was so bad, the viewership was so low on this episode, that Glee was immediately taken out of its primetime slot and moved to another channel that was digital only starting the next week.
Really? Just because people weren't tuning in and it was like, why are we spending like money on this?
Well, this is the first episode back from the winter hiatus, you know, because the last episode was Glee actually. And the ratings were already dropping the first half of season 4. And I imagine just a lot of people didn't come back.
Yeah.
One of those people, frankly, was me.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I've talked about what my drop-off episode is before, and it's an episode that we haven't gotten to yet. But when I was rewatching Glee in 2020, I realized that there are a few episodes before my drop-off episode that I had never seen before, and this was one of them. And it was because I had lost interest in the first half of season 4 and then just didn't pay attention to when the winter hiatus ended. So I never saw Sadie Hawkins.
Wow.
Those are your glacts.
Those are pretty good glacts.
Thanks.
Do you want a recap maybe?
Absolutely.
Here is what you missed on Glee. Tina suggests the idea of a Sadie Hawkins Day dance during the school council meeting. Coach Beast encourages everyone to go out on a limb and take their love lives into their own hands. Our girl Tina goes out on a limb and asks Blaine out, but gets rejected. Meanwhile, back in New York, Rachel is fully all up in Brody's whole thing and encourages Kurt to seek someone else to hang out with. Kurt starts to take interest in the Niata Glee Club as well as the Captain Adam. Social status be damned. The dance is super fun. Blaine and Tina end up almost maybe kissing, but then Sam Evans fully steals him away to rat on the Warblers for taking performance-enhancing drugs, and that's what you missed on Glee.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Let's party. Okay. Heck, what do you think about this episode?
Sadie Hawkins dance in my khaki pants. Honestly, there's nothing better. Oh, oh, oh.
Nothing better.
I was surprised by how much I enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, I feel that.
I would say, besides one big stinky poo of a plot point, I am a fan of pretty much everything that happens in this episode.
Yeah.
And what I like the most about it is it's a very ensemble-y episode.
Totally, totally.
Something I'm learning about myself in season 4 is like, really, all this show needs to do to make me be like, this is pretty good, is just like have an ensemble focus, because I just love the idea of like all these different personalities coexisting.
Literally. Like for weeks, you and I have been like, what would it be like if Brittany and Marley talked? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I know we've never talked. And I'm like, you read my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree.
And it's so nice to see like Tina get more focus. And also I realized I was like, oh, I really like Marley in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it turns out I like the character of Marley a lot when I feel like she isn't stealing screen time away from other people.
I hear
like,
that,
if everyone had more equal screen time, I would be more on board with these newbies.
Totally.
I don't know. I had a pretty good time. What about you?
I really enjoy this episode. I think it's fun. And I agree there is like a stinky poo in the episode that makes me a little, you know, I don't know. But I really enjoy it. And I like, I think all the songs are really fun, frankly.
Honestly, bangers.
Bangers on bangers. Like, honestly, I think you know me. I love a school dance episode. I feel like those songs are always somehow my jams on this show. And I feel like a prom queen, I think, is the most amazing thing. Dinosaur Prom was a little bit of a letdown for me, but this one is so fun, so exciting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Very fun.
And I just like, Gal, as you know, as exciting as it is when Glee has like absolutely outrageous plot lines, I think it's at its strongest when it takes like pretty universal high school experiences and then just like plays up the emotional stakes of them.
Yes.
So absolutely. I totally agree. Like, high school dances are such a universal experience, and just like all the feelings surrounding them.
Yes. Even like people who, I feel like even when we talked to EP Tiff about how EP Tiff hadn't gone to prom, like EP's Tiff, she still like talked about her feelings surrounding prom. So I feel like everyone's got like, you know, like feelings about a school dance, you know, even if they haven't been, they've got feelings about it. So I totally agree. It's such an experience that like is like no other.
Yeah.
And the stakes feel so high. I swear. I feel like Hermione on the stairs at the end of the Yule Ball. Like, you've spoiled everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, I love school dances. I also loved girls' choice dances in school. My school had really capitalized on the whole girls' choice dance thing. So we had like freaking 8 dances a year, and half of them were boys' choice and half of them were girls' choice. It was the best. How do you want to talk about this episode?
Okay, obviously, as always, New York's its own thing. Besides
New York is its own thing.
New York's its own thing. Besides New York, I think the McKinley stuff splits into Blam Tina and the Puckermans. And Marley is included with the Puckermans because she's part of, you know, like her and Jake are intertwined.
Yeah. Wow. Stinky, stinky poo. Should we talk about New York first?
Okay. No. Yeah. It's the one I'm kind of least interested in.
I agree. The New York stuff is what I'm least interested in. And it like is, you know, it's not what's actually going on in this episode. This episode's about the Sadie Hawkins dance.
In my khaki pants. I agree. There's nothing better.
There's nothing better than Sadie Hawkins dance in your khaki pants. God. Is this the Reliant K song? I don't think I know this song.
You don't know it? Oh my gosh. Sadie Hawkins dance in my khaki pants. There's nothing better. Girls, that's the guys. It's always a surprise. There's nothing better, baby. Do you like my sweater?
And maybe I feel like I have heard the "Do you like my sweater" bit. Maybe it's just from you.
Maybe. Honestly, anytime anyone says Sadie Hawkins, that song comes out of my mouth. So
okay.
That would make sense.
Well, let's talk about NYC.
First off, I know this has been established for a while, but it just occurred to me. They're always talking about how Rachel and Kurt are so broke. And, you know,
they got this
huge apartment, but they like really talk about how it's in a really, really, really bad part of Brooklyn. So sure. I'll suspend my disbelief. It's like the most dangerous part of Brooklyn, whatever.
It's also like the subway station is like a stone's throw away from the house. When Kurt was sitting on his fire escape, you saw the subway station. Like, that is there is no goddamn way they're paying that much in rent. Oh my gosh.
But also, where'd all this furniture come from?
Oh my God, where did the furniture come
from? And it's like stylish. They should have like mismatched crap they found on Facebook Marketplace because it was cheap and they could assemble it themselves.
Yes. And I know that it's a TV show and like they've got set dressers, but even a fucking dining room table? Are you kidding me? No GD way.
Wild.
Those shelves? No way.
Wild.
That has been the weirdest thing ever moving to New York. I still have fully empty rooms in my apartment. Like fully, like I do not have like me and my roommate don't have dressers at all. Like we can't afford it.
But you know, they may have a lot of furniture, but you know what they don't have? Walls in between their beds. And yet Rachel still has full on sex with her boyfriend without warning Kurt beforehand.
Would be so mad. Like unforgivable. Sister. My God.
The next, she's like, well, sorry, Kurt. Brody just stayed over last night. Like, yeah, I know. We're separated by a curtain.
Yeah.
I heard everything. My gosh.
Like, Rachel, I hear every breath, every sigh through these curtains. Get out Seriously. Of here. I'd be so mad at her. I don't know. I like this plot line. I like this plot line because I think it is an interesting thing. Like, you know, moving to, you know, a new city where you know one person and like, you know, you have to expand. You have to make your life on your own, you know, and like Rachel's making her life on her own. She's been here a little longer. You know, she's been at the school a little longer. And I like Kurt's old journey in this episode. I think it's fun, you know,
yeah.
Rachel's all up in Brody's whole thing. So
there's that moment where she is talking to Kurt and she's like, you have to move on from Blaine. You have to meet a new guy. Like, for example, me and Brody, like, we're having a great time. And she's delivers,
like, I love him.
She delivers the whole monologue in the center of a crosswalk. And I just wrote in my notes, what if Rachel got hit by a car right now?
Like Regina George.
Like, that. Shoot, you're really parking and barking in the middle of a New York street.
She has okay. got, I mean, I... my God, the ego on this girl for real.
Frankly, one of the reasons I like this plot line is because it is a Kurt plot line. Rachel's just kind of like there.
Rachel's just there.
Yeah, for him to talk to, but it is Kurt's plot line.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like so infrequently do we get a Kurt plot line with Rachel as like the spice in it rather than, you know, we usually get a Rachel plot line with the Kurt spice. So I like it. And I feel like this totally would happen with these two real people, you know?
Yes.
So I'm into it.
So yeah, Kurt, he decides to join the Niata show choir, even though Rachel tells him that it's social suicide, because dang it, that show choir leader is a QT and he's British.
Yeah, he's so nice too. Oh my gosh, literally, he's so nice. I would die.
So Kurt goes to watch them perform, and they perform the Jonathan Coulton version of Baby Got Back.
Don't you forget it.
What are your thoughts?
I can't tell if this just isn't my humor or if I'm mad for Jonathan Coulton. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know what you mean. I also know that I just straight up don't think it's funny regardless of Jonathan Coulton. Literally in my notes, because it keeps cutting to Kurt and he is laughing like he has never laughed before. And I wrote,
he thinks it's the funniest thing ever.
Kurt clearly has a huge crush on this guy because this is not that funny. And he is dying.
I know. And I know they're trying to like make them look like pretty lame. I don't know. I think it's silly. I like it in general because I like that like Kurt, you know, is just like looking for someone to have fun with. And this looks fun. I don't know. And I'm mad for Jonathan Coulton. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I like the unabashed silliness of it, especially in the context of like Niata is this like, you know, Mean Girls-esque place where like, you know, everyone's got their cliques.
Yeah.
So I liked that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's certainly lame and they want it to be lame and they succeeded on making it lame. I don't know that it's funny, though.
That's my weird question is, like, I don't understand what this number is supposed to be in the world of the show.
Yeah.
Because, like, half of the Adam's apples are playing it straight. Where, like, we as the audience, the joke is, like, oh, this is so lame, and like they don't realize it.
Yeah.
And then the other half are playing it like they're in on the joke.
Yeah, totally.
That they're like, see, and based on Kurt's reaction, it kind of feels like we're supposed to believe that the Adam's apples are in on the joke.
Bradley Beaker, we have questions.
Yeah. I don't know. It just like.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there is a world where, you know, someone sings a folksy version of Baby Got Back because they're like, isn't this so wild and it's funny? Like,
yeah, it's silly.
And then there's another version where like a bunch of like weirdy kids sing a folksy version of Baby Got Back because they're like, isn't this cool? Like this
isn't
is
this
like
inspired?
That hip song from 15 years ago.
Totally.
And Glee's kind of trying to do both here.
Totally.
And I feel like
and
they should have.
And neither are like necessarily bad. I think both could have been a strong choice. I think you're definitely right. They should have just picked one.
And I think that's why the number doesn't land for me because I can't figure out, am I supposed to be laughing at you or laughing with you? And then because of that, I'm like, cool, well, I'm just not laughing at any of it because I can't
totally.
Figure out exactly what it is.
I don't
is.
Know what to laugh at. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
All that being said, this Adam guy, I'm a fan of his. And Kurt laughing, I'm a fan of that. So,
yeah, that also, Clark Moore from Love, Simon and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is fully in this number. Wild. Good to see you, Clark.
I couldn't even tell you who that is.
In Love, Simon, which I imagine is many more people have seen than Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Clark Moore plays Ethan, who's the only out gay kid at the school.
Cool.
Anyways, that's Baby Got Back.
Cool, awesome, fun. Let's not forget Jonathan Coulton. Thanks so much. But you know what I do want to talk about while we move on is this guy. Is this guy Adam? going to Kurt and being like, hey, good plies, Kurt. And Kurt being like, yeah, I don't really know. I'm still working on it. And then him being like, no, learn how to fully accept a compliment. I like, I loved that so much. I thought that was so, I was like, if someone said that to me, I fall in love with them. Oh my God. I loved that part. Also, just good advice. What did you think? What did you think of like all their like little interactions?
I thought, I don't know. I thought it was a good job at conveying someone who's flirting. Shoot, I don't know.
Holler back. I love that.
Didn't have strong opinions, but I was like, yeah, this feels, I believe that Adam is into Kurt based on what he is saying and doing.
Totally, totally. And then Kurt ends up asking him out. What else happens in this plot? It's essentially that, right?
Rachel fully asks Brody to move in with her. I don't care.
Literally, back it the fuck up. So I fully forgot this happened. So like, Brody is late by 45 minutes to come hang with Rachel, mm-hmm. which... God, traveling from Manhattan to Brooklyn, that is a long distance relationship. Like, that is real. The truth. Ian and I are long distance besties. Like, we mm-hmm. live a world away. First of all, the fact that he is like, I'll get an apartment that's closer. I'm like, bitch, where? No, you're not.
Seriously.
And then without even asking Kurt, Rachel, Raquel, you are my worst enemy. It does split their rent again, but still, that is so fucked up of her. That is fucked up of her. And yeah, fucking right. He can't get out of his lease like that. It's like January.
I know. I was like, you can't just like cut and run.
Oh, but wait. He lives in a dorm. No, he lives in the dorms.
Oh, yeah.
I fully forgot he lived in the dorms.
I forgot about that too.
Oh my God, he fully lives in the dorms.
Okay, he honestly might be able to get out of that.
No, totally. I'm sure they're like, please get out of the dorms.
So you see, they're like, you're way too old to be in the dorms and you keep preying on young girls in the unisex bathrooms.
Oh, you're
bathrooms.
Moving in with a freshman? You're disgusting. Fine, get out of here.
Ugh. So shoot. Brody's moving in with Rachel, I guess.
I'd be so mad at her if I was Kurt. Oh my God.
So wildly uninvested in this couple that
I know. I feel bad, honestly, but I don't feel that bad. Anyway, that's how I feel about that plot. Should we talk about the Sadie Hawkins dance now?
In our khaki pants. Honestly.
In our khaki pants.
Do you want to do some fun Blamtina or do you want to do some not fun Puckermans?
Maybe let's start with the not fun Puckermans. I don't want to end on that.
Yeah.
It is a stinky, stinky poo-poo.
There is some fun stuff in this plot line, though. Right off the bat, our first Brittany and Marley reaction, like you mentioned before.
So fun.
Love that the writers acknowledge the fact that these characters have never spoken. They have been in the same club for a full semester. And we get one of my all-time favorite Glee numbers, Tell Him. This number is so fun.
So fun. I love this number. I love just these two interacting, first of all, is like one of my favorite things ever. And then these two, this number is so fun. These dresses look exactly like every dress I ever wore to a school dance ever. Glee really started the whole trend of using like the shawl material as like straps. And I did that for every dance ever. And every dress looked exactly like this exact cut. This whole number is everything to me. It is so cute. The choreography is so good this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what happened. The choreography with everything is so good. And I can't tell like what the step up is, but it is amazing. Like every dance number is so good.
We talked about this in Thanksgiving. A lot of the cast members who like couldn't hold their own have graduated. Mm-hmm. And so the people left in the club and the new actors they hired can all hold their own.
Yeah.
So Zach Woodley has the freedom to give them more complex choreography as a group.
It's incredible. I think Zach Woodley is frankly a genius and is very good at like making a group look good for their skill level. I think that's really awesome. But holy shit, this episode's choreography is amazing. And this number especially is just so beautiful.
Like, I'm sorry. Can you imagine Tell Him with Leah Michelle as one of the girls?
No, no,
like,
no.
She would be trying her darndest.
Well, she would just be standing in the middle and everyone would be dancing around her.
That's
it's
true.
It's so cute. It is literally just so fun, so awesome, so exciting, so incredible. I love it. I really love this number. And I love it ending in them, like, transitioning into their regular clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Marley going down on her knees and then standing up and she's in her regular clothes. Oh, my gosh. I, like, my heart skipped a beat. It was so cute. It was like, oh, my God. I was so obsessed.
So they do this number. It's incredible, frankly. And then after the number, Marley asks Jake to Sadie Hawkins, and he says yes. And that is a full stop on the fun stuff in this plotline.
Yeah. You know what, though? Should we talk about, like, the conversation that Jake and Marley have later? Should we just keep going, like, chronologically throughout the rest of this plot?
We can go to that conversation now if you want.
Well, we totally can. I was just going to make a comment that I never can, like, remember when the episodes are starting who she is actually dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. I can never keep track of who in this, like, love, like, pentagon is, like, dating who at what time until it's, like, actively happening. And then I'm like, oh, okay, yes, now I remember. You know what I mean? I just, like, have such a tough time remembering who's dating who.
I'm fairly certain that since Dynamic Duets, Ryder has been out of the picture.
Yeah.
Because Marley, at the end of whatever episode it is that she does this, I frankly don't remember, she goes up to Jake and she says, Jake, what are you doing on Friday night? And he says, hanging out with you. And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
And then that was...
And Gleece was before that?
Yeah, Gleece was before that.
Got it. Okay. Wow, the timeline in my mind.
Oh, crap. Was it?
I literally don't remember. Because she kisses Ryder in that episode.
Well, yeah. But, you know, at Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving has the whole plot line where Jake is already with Marley. And so he's going to give the dance solo to Ryder because he feels bad that he's with Marley. But then Ryder sees how good they are together. So he's like, no, you should take the dance solo. All of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure since Dynamic Duets, Jake and Marley have been together. And Dynamic Duets is the last time that Ryder really tried anything with Marley.
Cool. Shoot.
Yeah. So he's just been pining in the background.
Yeah.
Which also, shout out to the fact that Neckbrace Cheerio gets her moment in the sun.
Oh my God. Neckbrace Cheerio gets, really, like, she cashes her full check this episode. It is her episode.
Does she speak? Absolutely not.
No.
Does she get multiple close-ups? Yes, she does.
And she's
good for
in
her.
Tina's club. What is the club's name? Do you remember?
The Too Young to Be Bitter Club?
Too Young to Be Bitter Club. I'm obsessed.
Neckbrace Cheerio gets to be Ryder's pity date to Sadie Hawkins because he can't go with Marley. Good for her. Get that coin.
Hell yeah. Pity dates forever, you guys. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love you, Neckbrace Cheerio. She is so cute. To comment on... Jake and Marley's conversation later in the episode, though. I really like that conversation. I think it's pretty sweet. Obviously, that comes after. Maybe we should talk about the...
Chronologically?
Kitty stuff. Yeah, because it makes sense at that. So let's back it up. Let's talk about Kitty and stuff.
So, Kitty, after Jake says yes to Marley, Kitty comes up to him and she's like, you know... Marley's never going to let you essentially, like, get in her pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you have needs. So if you dump her and you go with me, then I'll let you sleep with me. And then Jake's like, isn't your whole bag that, like, you're a virgin and you're really judgmental about it? And she's like, yeah, but the writers forgot about that. Yeah. So they've completely changed my whole character because they don't know what they're doing. And then that happens. Jake has a conversation with Puck about it where he's like, I don't know what to do because I really like Marley and she's a great girl, but also, you know, she's not ready for anything physical and I hate Kitty and she's the literal spawn of Satan, but I can have sex with her.
I know. I really, you know, every day I'm like, God, do I date the spawn of Satan, but, you know, have my needs met physically, or do I date just such a sweet girl, but have her have boundaries. You know, that is so, every single day I'm like, wow, the two questions that I'm trying to answer, you know what I mean? Yeah. Date the spawn of Satan or date a girl with boundaries. That's so really crazy, you know?
Unfortunately, I don't think that's uncommon for high school boys.
Yeah.
I don't think that,
really that sucks. This is really sucks. That really sucks.
The blame for this scenario, I think, is less on the Glee writers and more on the fact that, actually, I knew quite a few boys in high school that would consider this a dilemma.
No, that actually sucks.
I mean, this is so weird to me. The Glee writers clearly, like, have an ethics in mind of how this should go because they have Puck be like,
"Yes,
Jake, what are you thinking? Like, sure, you know, maybe you'll have like a really good time with Kitty for a few minutes, but overall it's going to be terrible with her. And you like really, really, really like Marley. Mm-hmm. So relationship with her, whatever her boundaries are, will make you happier than being with Kitty." So like clearly the writers, you know, have like some sort of moral compass in that scenario. And then they have absolutely no moral compass and then pairing Puck up with Kitty.
Yeah. Yeah. They are fucked up for this. They are fucked up for this. And you're so right. I don't even think I thought about it like that. Like, they obviously are trying to tell us that, like, the quote-unquote better option for Jake is to date Marley, and that's like the thing he should be doing. And then Puck, this adult, this full adult, coming into the school and dating this, you know, what grade is she in? Is she a freshman?
She's a sophomore.
She's a sophomore. Sophomores are like 15, 16.
Yeah.
It is messed up. And the whole arc they even go on is kind of like, these two are like, kind of like, you know, like outsiders because they're super cool. And they kind of like see eye to eye on some things. And Kitty like actually gives him a chance on his screenplay. So they're actually kind of a good pair. And it's like, what? What the fuck is even going on? Are you trying to tell me this right now?
And that's what I hate about it.
Yes.
It starts out as like, you know, we know that Puck's big character flaw is that he's, way to phrase this? Like, Puck's big character flaw is essentially that he's like mega horny, that he thinks with his dick. Like, that's his big character flaw. We've known that for years.
Yeah.
I still think this plot line is bonkers and like, why would they write this? But like, it feels at first as if this purposely is like a bad idea, and we know that it's a bad idea that Puck is now getting with Kitty because she's like, well, if I can't have your brother, I want you. Mm-hmm. But then when we see them at the dance, like you said, the writers try and make us think like, oh, they're actually kind of a sweet couple when you see them together. No.
I don't see it.
This should not be happening.
No. I think it is certainly one thing. I think I talk a big game about my opinions on high school, college relationships or like high school, out of high school relationships. Like I was in one. I don't suggest them. Like I was in one that I was like dating someone who graduated and we continued dating. And that is like, that's its own thing. But a college, like, he's not even in college. Someone who has graduated from high school, coming into a high school to come date a high schooler is point fucking blank pedophilia. Like you can dress it up all you want by saying he's like, you know, 18 years old. He's still a teenager. That is so fucking gross. And the way that this show is like, they're so sweet together. They see eye to eye. I'm like, are you kidding me? You don't see what's going on here?
It is awful. And it also just reeks of, we have so many people in the main cast and we have no idea what to do with them.
Yeah. Oh my God, absolutely. They're like, who do we pair with who?
I truly think Glee's downfall after the main cast graduated was that they couldn't let go of the main cast. They like didn't want to. And so they kept all these people on the payroll, but they had no idea what to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't like freaking keep Puck in LA. And you know, it's fine. Jake can be his half brother and we can see Puck every once in a while because of that relationship. Mm-hmm. But like they have Mark Sailing on their payroll. So they like want to do something with him. So they give him this relationship with Kitty so that they can keep him on the show and justify having him in the main cast. Yeah. And they just keep like reaching for excuses to have alumni come back and have alumni yeah. have plot lines. And it just stretches the focus of the show so far
absolutely.
That you lose sight of like, what even is this show about anymore? And what's going on? And then also on top of that, you get disgusting stuff like Puck dating Kitty so that both these characters have something to do.
Yeah. I don't know. And I don't know what the correct thing to do was, but it certainly wasn't this. Like,
I think the correct thing is just have it be like Degrassi.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
A show
like,
about
graduate.
The McKinley
exactly.
High Glee Club. And the alumni can come back every once in a while for special event episodes. But I'm sorry, like you have to kill your darlings.
Yeah.
You have to let those characters go and be growing new ones every season to keep mm-hmm. the audience engaged.
Totally. Absolutely. And I think that where they're going wrong this season is they are too busy like trying to cultivate these relationships with characters who have nothing to do with the Glee Club. That like no one cares about what's going on with the characters who are new, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they don't have time to flesh out things that are going on. And then when they do, I don't know, like Brittany and Marley hanging out this episode to me was wildly successful. Do yeah. that more. They're in the same club. Puck is not in Glee Club.
That's what's crazy is the McKinley stuff outside of Noah Puckerman. In this episode is like so exactly what I think Glee should just be now, mm-hmm. which is it's focused on the Glee kids and it is giving a lot of focus to characters that were sidelined last season. Mm-hmm. So we're getting to know like Tina more.
Yes.
We're getting to
oh,
know Sam
absolutely.
More. And then while we're like getting to know these formerly secondary characters on a deeper level, we are also being introduced to new characters through Drake, Marley, and Ryder so that in the future they can become bigger. Like, I
totally.
Just think that's
absolutely.
What Glee should have been. Just
I agree.
The established characters are now at the forefront, and then we bring in newbies
yep.
as the new secondary characters, and then it just cycles that
just
way.
Just like a regular high school Glee Club.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is a stinky, stinky poo. I fucking hate watching it. I hate watching them smile at each other. I hate Kitty doing like the Mrs. Robinson. Is that who it is? No, it's like the Killer Instinct, like, you know.
Oh, Sharon Stone?
Yeah, Sharon Stone. You know, I don't know what episode, what movie that is. You
that
know
is,
what I'm talking about.
You are talking about
Killer
Basic
Instinct.
Instinct.
Basic Instinct, that's what it was.
Yeah. Killer Instinct. Time
I just
began.
Love
Rihanna
musical. I hate that. I hate them like smiling at each other and then going and like, you know, having sex in their in the car. Like, I hate everything about it. I think it is like absolutely like egregious, like so fucking stupid.
You know the moment I hate the most?
Hmm.
When Puck makes a joke about how, like, after dating him, Kitty's really is going to want to convert to Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kitty says, no, I can't. I like bacon too much. And then they both laugh like it's the funniest thing they've ever heard. And it is so, first of all, the joke's not that funny. But
no.
Second of all, it's so clearly them trying to be like, see, they're so cute and so compatible. Isn't it sweet how much they're laughing? It's makes my eyes
so,
roll out of my head.
First of all, like, it is like they forgot all of her, like, you know, her, they like don't know what to do with her ever. They forget all of her like morals she had 3 weeks ago, which is fine. Like, she's fully allowed to like explore her sexuality. That's fine. with a person of an appropriate age, frankly. But she's still like super anti-Semitic the entire time. And it's super gross. Oh my God. I can't deal. I can't even deal. Oh my God. Anyway, I hate this plot.
All right, you want to talk about fun stuff?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave the Puckermans behind.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about Blam-tina.
Blam-tina.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chain to the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
All right, blamity blamity Tina Tina.
Blamity blamity Tina Tina. Oh my God, this plot is so sad, but I love it. I love this plot.
You know what's sad? I, and correct me if I'm wrong, would say that in 77 episodes of this show, this is the first Tina plot that's about Tina. Every other plot she has had, it has been a plot about her comforting Artie because he's in a wheelchair, or her comforting Mike because his dad doesn't want him to dance. Or, you know, she gets bullied by Figgins for dressing like a goth, which then becomes a Glee Club plot about Lady Gaga, and she just doesn't speak for the rest of the episode. Like, I think this is the... Because, yes, it is a plot line about Tina falling in love with Blaine, but the Tina stuff is very much about Tina. It's not about Blaine. And I genuinely think it's the first time she's had a plot line about herself in this entire show.
I don't know that I would go so far as to say that it is like solely about her, but she is like the main player in this plot. Like she is the one who's like calling all the shots. Do you know what I mean?
There is a Blaine plot line also happening, and there is a Sam plot line also happening, but Tina's plot line is for Tina. And yes, it is a plot about her feelings for Blaine, but it's not to like service the Blaine plot line. It is a plot line for Tina's character moving forward and to give her an arc as opposed to her helping another character complete their arc. Does that make sense?
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
Because even like freaking Props, which was supposed to be Tina's big episode, is actually mostly about Rachel and how Tina needs to sit down and shut up.
Totally. No, absolutely. I love this plot. And I think it's so funny. And it's so sad that out of 77 episodes, this is the first like real Tina plot ever. Because how sad is this girl? I love her. I just think this is so funny. And it is... I love it. I just think it's so fun. What do you think?
I think this plot's fantastic. So we got poor Tina Cohn Chang. It's a very... Something I love about this episode is, like, of course, you know, dance drama is very high school. Mm-hmm. But, like, all of the interpersonal relationships in this episode are so, so high school. Mm-hmm. This plot line about Tina having a crush on her friend that she knows full well is gay.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knows full well is gay. And yet something in her is like... But maybe he won't be gay for me.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, such
it's so
a
high
teenager
school
thing to
absolutely
think.
It's like, I'm the exception.
Be like, but we get along so well. Maybe he'll love a woman if that woman is me.
Oh, poor girl. I love it. I just think it's so funny.
And then, like, at the same time, to have Blaine hopelessly in love with his friend who's straight.
Yes.
And
yes.
Also, like, so completely oblivious that Tina's in love with him. Mm-hmm. It's, like, very, very cute. Very, very high school.
I know.
Just everyone, one, not picking up on social cues whatsoever.
Yes.
And two, just like figuring out their sexualities and also just hoping against hope that like what they know about each other's sexualities is not true.
Oh my God. It is so high school to me. Even, I don't know, like obviously everything is super elevated, you know, very clearly, like even the grand gestures that you did in high school, like to like ask people to dances or to like let people know that you liked them, are not singing "I Don't Know How to Love Him" from Jesus mm-hmm. Christ Superstar, but fuck, they feel like it. You know what I mean? So it is like such like the perfect amount of cringy to me to have her sing "I Don't Know How to Love Him" in this like locker room and then have Blaine like turn her down with like no other thought. It is everything to me. I think it is so funny and so and cute.
Also how Blaine fully doesn't understand that the song is about him. No. That like Tina starts it out. She starts it out like a little abstract mm-hmm. and is kind of singing it to the whole club. Mm-hmm. And then as the song goes on, she starts only she's looking like, at Blaine.
I bring him down.
And then she slowly starts walking up to Blaine. And everyone else on the class totally knows what's going on. And Blaine is still like he's shrugging like, his shoulders, like, huh, I wonder who she's gonna ask.
So cute. I do. I also love, I don't know, I think him turning her down is obviously very harsh, but I do like the conversation they have in the hallway afterwards. That's like, mm-hmm. you know, Blaine's feeling really down recently and he's got a crush on a straight guy friend of his. So everything is really crazy. And he like, and Tina brings up like this show, you know, never remembers its own plots. She brings up that, you know, he was assaulted at a Sadie Hawkins dance and that like is a source of trauma for him. And, you know, yeah, I really like honestly, their conversation.
Kudos to the writers for remembering that.
Well, like, whoa, thanks for that. I never count on it to remember anything. But you know, them like sitting down and like talking heart to heart and being like, well, let's just go and like, let's have fun. I really like that. I think it's very sweet. And even Tina, like still having our ulterior motives, like maybe he will fall in love with me at the dance. Oh my God, Tina, I love you.
But I like
she is such a sweetheart.
Like she's like, let's just go as friends, you know, who cares? Yeah. And then they're at the dance and they're having so much fun that she's like, wait, actually, maybe my first plan will work and yeah, he is like, falling in love with me.
It's so sweet. It's really so sweet. I think this plot's really precious. And I think the plot along with it of Blaine doing the same thing to Sam is really sweet mm-hmm. as well. And Sam just like focusing on the like performance enhancing drugs of the warblers. I am obsessed. I just think this plot is really fun.
Let's talk about this performing enhancing drugs plot point really fast.
Okay, let's do it.
There's a background plot in this episode about how Sam has become a conspiracy theorist because mm-hmm. he is certain that the warblers use mm-hmm. performance enhancing drugs and that's how they're able to perform so well at sectionals and mm-hmm. that's the only reason that they won.
Yes.
By the end of the episode,
they
end up proving that that's true. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my gosh, this means the Glee Club is saved because they will get their title revoked
fully
and they can move on.
Forgetting the... that the Mennonites did so GD well at sectionals.
Thank you. The New Directions got disqualified. So yeah. If the Warblers lose their title, it goes to the Mennonites.
Yeah, they killed. They ate that up. It was so good.
Yeah, the New Directions do not get to move forward to regionals. The Mennonites do.
Yeah.
The writers fully forget about that fact.
Like, at least make them bad. You know, this show is usually pretty good at, like, making the playing field, like, understandable enough that, like, there's only two, like, you know,
real competitors
in the competition. Yeah. But if you're going to make the Mennonites be so good...
Like, God. They deserve it. They
exactly.
were great.
Send them.
I heard that girl riffing. She was fantastic.
She was amazing. Oh, my God.
That aside... I do think, you know, I think the Sam conspiracy theory scenes are very fun. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I do think any time that the show choir kids take show choir mm-hmm. too seriously is uh-huh. funny to me.
I love
so, like,
that, yeah.
The idea that they're taking steroids to win a show choir competition, mm-hmm. like, is a funny idea. But it bothers me because I was so excited when they lost sectionals. Because I was like, oh, what is Glee now? Like, they're really going to have to take it in a new direction. They're going to have to reinvent the show. Who knows what the club is going to be? Frankly, I love the fact that in this episode, every time the Glee Club meets, they have to meet in a different room in the school because they don't have a choir room anymore. And they're always like under a time constraint before the class gets there. Like there's so much story that they could have found in the Glee Club trying to hang on without a competition.
Yeah.
And yet it lasted 2 episodes and now they're like, loophole, we're back in the competition circuit again.
You're so right. I love them finding new places to do the Glee Club. I just think it is like a fun to look at and like, you know, the sense of urgency and like, it's just so sweet. And it's like, we're meeting together at all odds. And that was really precious. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
And like the message of, we're not in Glee Club to win trophies. Yes. We're in Glee Club because we like Glee Club.
Exactly. Like that message is just like down the drain now. And, you know, and in life, there are moments where you like come to terms with like, you know, not getting something. And that's a good lesson. And then you end up getting the thing and everything works out for you. But still, I think it would have been a fun experiment for this season to just do a Glee Club for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that would have been really interesting and a shakeup of the structure of Glee that I think would have been welcome.
Yeah. And shoot, if you really, really, really find out that you can't have the stakes that you want without a competition, then sure, have this twist happen, I guess. But can it happen more than 2 episodes later?
I know, like, seriously. Like, God.
Goodness sakes.
Like, let's get to like spring break at least. That's the thing. Maybe they do it like the week before competition and then they realize that that's happening. And then there's a time constraint where it's like, oh God, we have to put something together now.
Yeah. If it was like they proved it the day before regionals and now last minute, that's a way to give stakes to regionals.
And then Finn can be like, well, I remember my first sectionals, regionals, whatever. Mm-hmm. We had to come up with a thing in the green room. We can do it today. You know what I mean? That would have been fun.
That would have been very fun.
Why don't we write Glee?
I don't know. Freaking Ross Maxwell fake friend is writing fake instead.
Honestly, I keep thinking about Ross Maxwell and his whole thing with you that's going on. And it just like puts a bad taste in my mouth.
As it should. Yeah. As it should.
As it should.
So let's talk about the Too Young to Be Bitter Club.
Okay. Too Young to Be Bitter Club.
Yes. So we got, first we have the student council meeting. Where am I going with this?
I don't know.
Scrap the student council meeting. I was just going to comment on the fact that like every club at the school is literally run by the Glee Club. And they're like, we're nobody's at the school. We're such outsiders, which is why we run every club in the entire school. This is what I wanted to say. We have the Too Young to Be Bitter Club, which is full of, teen girls who just feel like their best years have passed them by and they're all in a really rough spot. And some of these girls make a lot of sense. You got like Neck Brace Cheerio in there. You got Tina in there, sure. Why is Sugar Mata in the Too Young to Be Bitter Club?
I thought boys were pining after Sugar Mata.
Yeah, what happened to like Artie and Rory having a battle to see who could win Sugar's affections? Suddenly she can't get a date?
Yeah, right. They just stick her places because they're like, oh, Vanessa Lange's is on payroll. Let's just put her somewhere.
Yeah.
But they don't make her date anyone because they don't like, whatever.
Like, frankly, I was happy to see how much Sugar was in this episode. It was much more Sugar than we've gotten in a long time.
I was
very glad to see her. It just didn't feel consistent with who she is. And also, glad to see Lauren Zeissi's back. I got a bone to pick with this because what made Lauren's character so great in season 2 was she could not care less what anybody else thought.
Oh,
she was like so incredibly confident and like she was dating Puck and she was the one who wore the pants in that relationship. Like it was so great. Mm-hmm. And now Lauren is suddenly this character who is openly calling herself a loser and talking about how she can't get any guys to date her.
Like she dumped Puck because it wasn't cool for her to date him anymore.
Exactly. It was bad for her street cred to be dating someone in the Glee Club and that's why she dumped him. And suddenly she's sitting on the bleachers at the Sadie Hawkins dance because she's too scared to ask anyone to dance.
She is the coolest motherfucker in this town.
It just made me mad. It's like, what a disrespect to this character.
Also, like, For what? I think Lauren Zizes is one of my favorite characters. Like, randomly, I think she's super cool, especially on this rewatch. I just, like, appreciate her character way more. But everything that they do with her, even, like, when we watched the Glee concert movie the other day, I was like, they waste this girl. They waste this girl. And even in this episode, I was like, why even bring her back? A, she is canonically too old to be going to this school. Maybe she got held back. Maybe that's totally, that could be a thing. But, like, she's also just, the main thing with Lauren Zizes is she was so fucking cool and confident and awesome. Hello? Why is she in this club? No way.
Yeah. It was stupid. I don't buy it. Oh, well. It was good to see her. So, I feel the same that I feel about Sugar. I'm, like, way out of character, but honestly, good to see him.
Yeah,
so,
happy to see them all interact. That was a fun group. Should we talk about the dance?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
God. Do you ever go to a Sadie Hawkins dance?
My school did have a Sadie Hawkins dance. I never went.
Really?
But they did. Frankly, at my school, you would go to homecoming, you would go to prom, and then it was just understood that every other dance was weird and no one ever went.
Whoa, for
real? And the school was always trying really hard to get people to go to the other dances, and everyone was like, we're not going. But also, like, our dances cost, you know, a chunk of change. So you would you'd pay for homecoming, you'd pay for prom because those were the big ones, and then you're like, I'm not spending money on a winter formal. I don't care. I don't know. I didn't pay for them. A prom was straight up, I think prom was like $70 for a couple.
$70?
Yeah.
Oh my God. No way. Yeah. I think mine was maybe 20.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, no, they were expensive.
That is crazy.
I mean, I went to school in a bougie town. So.
Oh, true. I went to
school. We were like having prom in like mansions on top of hills and crap like that.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. They got to pay for the mansion on the hill. I hear that. That was fully the opposite of the culture in my school. Like, it was the coolest thing in the world to go to dances, at least in my eyes. Maybe my lens is not the cool lens. Maybe I should be talking about that. But fully, like, all my friends always went to dances. All of the student, like, counselors and all of, like, you know, who I assumed the popular kids were, they always went. We loved dances, and we loved Sadie Hawk. We called it Sadie's, and it was always our Halloween dance, and we would always dress up, and there'd be a fun theme. Yeah. My senior year, I went with my best friend, Sam, who I convinced everyone in college that he was my cousin.
I believed that for like a year.
Oh, I think I told you, I know I told someone very recently, and they were very upset with me that he wasn't actually my cousin. We went to my senior Sadie's, and we went as Sam and Susie from West Side Story. No, Moonrise Kingdom.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I've seen pictures of that.
Yeah.
See, if my school did cool stuff like that, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They really put zero effort into the non-big ticket dances. Like, they could not have cared less.
Yeah. Honestly, it was like my favorite. I've said this before. It was my like favorite part of high school is going to those dances. Anyway, so love this episode. Got a special place in my heart for Girls' Choice dances. Let's talk about the songs. Let's go song by song.
Yes.
What's up first? What's on the docket?
No Scrubs by TLC.
Dude, I have to say, I watched, again, I have to bring up the choreography. Even Artie's, like, choreography in his wheelchair, Kevin McHale has, like, stepped up his game in his wheelchair choreography. Zach Woodley has really stepped up his game. And I think, truly, it's because Allie was on the Glee project, and they were like, oh my God, there is so much more we could be doing. Like, Allie was an amazing dancer, and they, I think, were really inspired by her. And I saw that in this episode, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I loved this song. I think this song is super awesome. And I think what a fun way to start this Girls' Choice dance by the boys singing No Scrubs. I think it's everything. I think it's everything.
Mm-hmm. And this number is so incredibly high school boys, like everything about it, I like is so believably what I would see a group of guys sing at a high school dance,
easy,
and everyone would lose their minds over it. This is exactly that.
Totally. It is like absolutely. This song is so amazing. It is so awesome. Like for so many reasons. And it is so like a bunch of like teenage boys to commandeer this whole song and be like, yes, girl power. Like it is everything. And the girls would love it. I love this number. It is so funny.
Also, Jake is not in this song. It's never addressed why.
Really?
So, okay, yeah. Cool.
Because he wasn't there at the rehearsal. What's going on there?
Then does we got locked. What?
What is, does he perform at the dance?
No.
At all?
He's shown in the crowd for like a split second of this number. He's just like not in the number. I wonder if they just liked the choreo better with five people. Maybe. I don't know.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Or maybe it's true. Maybe Jacob Artist like was filming his own stuff because he has a bigger plot than most of them. And so they were like, shoot, we got to choreograph this while Jacob is filming. So he just won't be in this number.
I bet it's a combination of probably all of that.
Yeah. Who knows? Then we got Locked Out of Heaven, performed by the girls. Another banger.
Such a banger. Holy
shit. I love the gender swap that the boys sing a girl that was made the boys sing a song that was made famous by women and the girls sing a song that was made famous by a man. Very fun.
This song is, again, everything to me. I imagined it being sung at my school and the uproar that would have happened. Mm-hmm. Your sex takes me to paradise. They would never. And, like, the choreography, again, is so amazing in this. Like, when they, like, are slamming the mic stands, I sob. It was so fun.
It's so, 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 so good.
Also, one of my simple pleasures of this season and why I think this season like remains kind of in a like a sweet place in my heart, I've got a lot of affection for it, is Marleek and the way their voices sound together. Those two harmonizing is one of maybe my favorite things about this whole season, like at all. It is so awesome. It is so, they sound so amazing together.
Yeah. This number is fantastic. It's so good.
It's so good.
And
it's,
I love the little like so arm things they do on that. Do.
So good.
Fantastic.
I love it.
And then the last song is, you know, the finale of the episode. So if we have other stuff to say, we should say it first, I think, before talking about the last song.
Well, I mean, we have the conversation of Marley and Jake, Marley just like very happy, skipping around, spinning around, being like, here are my boundaries. Take it or leave it. That's fine by me. I think that I love Marley and I think I love that scene, frankly, where she's like, it's okay if this isn't cool with you, but this is what, like, if you want to be with me, you got to be cool with this and that's okay. And she's like, oh, I'm going to go talk to someone else. I love Marley. I think she's very sweet. And I like that scene between them.
I really like, besides freaking Kitty and Puck's interaction, I really like everything at this dance. It's really fun. Too. And then like the moments we get of everyone talking with each other and there's, I don't know, this is during the last song, but I guess I'll just say it now. There's the moment of the couples dancing and Tina's looking longingly at Blaine and then Blaine is looking longingly at Sam. And Sam and Brittany just have like a lot of very fun them flirting with each other moments during the dance portion of this episode. It's all very so exciting. Fun. Big fan of all of it.
I also love even Coach Beast like going up to the Too Young to Be Bitter club being like, you guys, let's bloom. Let's go ask someone to dance. You're in charge. I think that scene, I think that interaction is sweet.
I'm so confused about that plot point. Because the reason that Tina suggested they do a Sadie Hawkins dance was because at the Too Young to Be Bitter club, they were like, oh, I'm so jealous of how the boys are empowered to ask us out. So we are just like left around waiting. And then Tina said, okay, how about we do a Sadie Hawkins so that we now have the power?
Yeah, I get that.
The whole club was for it. And then, I mean, maybe they did ask a guy and he said no, but it doesn't feel like it. Because when Coach Beast talks to them and Coach Beast is like, you should take control of your life, go ask a boy to dance. Every boy that they ask to dance says yes. And it's all like the boys they wanted to go with anyways. So what is that about?
I can't really tell. Maybe it's like they were still too shy to ask them until they got to the dance. I do think that like is a big, that's certainly a plot hole. Mm-hmm. Like, why are they doing a Sadie Hawkins dance if they're just going to wait until the dance to ask them?
Yeah. And I mean, I buy that, like, you know, Dottie Cazzatori in theory wanted to ask a boy, but then she got too scared. But you're telling me that Sugar Mata and Lauren Zices still didn't ask anyone?
Yeah, there's no
like
way.
Sure.
Yeah. No, totally. I think you're right. But I did like, I, all that being said, I did enjoy the interaction of like the wallflower, you know, talk. I thought that was sweet.
Well, and I also like that as it's a montage, it's during Only Have Eyes for You. And it's a montage of each of the girls asking a guy to dance.
And Neck Brace Intercut. Cheerio just standing in front of Jake like, hey.
Seriously, Neck Brace Cheerio just like pining at Ryder as he sings.
I love you, Neck Brace Cheerio.
But also intercut with Kurt asking Adam out. And so it's all of them asking and then all of them receiving yeses all together. Yeah. It's very cool.
Super sweet.
Super what's sweet. Other stuff about Only Have Eyes for You? I don't know, Rachel and Brody dance around her kitchen.
Yeah, dance around the kitchen in the refrigerator light. I think it, and then he's also going to move in. What the fuck? I don't know. I think that's like the thing.
Well, cool.
I think that's the whole episode. Is that the whole episode?
Yeah, that's the whole episode. Do you have any rogue thoughts?
Let me take a look at my little notes.
I have some minor thoughts.
Tell me your minor thoughts.
During student council, Blaine asks Tina to read the minutes from the last episode. And then Tina says, Sam spent the whole meeting doing a Daniel Craig impression. And then Sam responds in a Sean Connery impression. Mm-hmm. That's a very funny joke. It's a very good joke. Also, there's a shot at the Sadie Hawkins dance. It's after, you know, the writers try and gaslight us into thinking that Kitty and Puck are a cute couple. Yeah. And then they walk off together.
I cannot be gaslit about that.
It's terrible. But they walk off together and Jake watches them walk off, like clearly second guessing his choice. And behind him, Unique is on the stage by herself dancing.
Oh, I guess. First
what's
all,
going on there?
Okay, backing it all the way the fuck up, I have some questions. Who went with who to this dance? Did Unique go by herself?
I don't know.
Like, who did Unique go with? And I think the episode wants us to believe that there are people who are going to the dance who just haven't been asked or aren't asking people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Zayn from the One Direction fan fiction movie and Artie don't have dates.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Unique?
I mean, I'm going to be straight up.
That's probably a can of worms they don't want to open.
Well, it's 2013 in this school in Lima, Ohio, which in the world of this show has been set up as a town that is not progressive.
Right.
I imagine Unique does not have a date.
Yeah, totally. I don't like it.
Because I mean, the school,
see, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I, you know, the school wouldn't even let her be Rizzo in Grease. Like, I don't think it's super not believable.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't know.
But yeah.
She didn't even go with friends. There's not even like a group of friends that are like, no one asked us, let's go. Or I don't know.
I mean, I think it's...
There's so much going on in this episode. They can only fit so much into every episode. I hear that. So I know, like, you know, Lima, Ohio in 2013 is not a progressive town. I totally hear that. But, you know.
But I mean, in contrast, you got like Lauren and Sugar who didn't get dates to this dance and they just sit on the bleachers and huff and pout the whole time.
Yeah, whereas Unique didn't get a date
and she goes, exactly, she goes up on stage in front of everyone and dances by herself and says, I don't care, I'm going to have a good time.
I have said this before. My biggest regret in high school is like feeling like I needed to have a date for these dances when in all actuality, I just wanted to go dance with my friends. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like, honestly, there's something to be learned of unique, just like going and dancing on the fucking stage. I love it. You're right.
Yeah. Go her.
Yeah. Love unique. Love unique.
There's also a moment in this episode that I do think is funny. It's when Tina goes up to sing I Don't Know How to Love Him, and she starts to give this big long speech about like, you know, this is just a song for someone who's very important to me, who I've been thinking about lately, blah blah blah, and they're in the locker room, and then Finn goes, Tina, I'm sorry, could you just wrap this up? Coach Beast needs the locker room in about 15 minutes.
I love this whole dynamic of like, we can only meet like 5 minutes a day. I love it. I just love it. I think it's so fun.
And
even the interaction of Blaine saying no, and then the football people or whatever the team, they rush into the locker room, like, so that no one even has a chance to process what just happened. That is so funny. I love. Well, heck, is that the Sadie Hawkins dance?
That is in my khaki pants, baby.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
What is your best part?
Gosh, what is my best part? I don't know. This episode's very fun. I like it. My best song is... Oh my God, what is my best song? Is it Tell 'Em or is it Locked Out of Heaven? I'm going to say Locked Out of Heaven is mine because I love that song and it's so everything to me. Just Marlake is everything to me. And I think my best part of the episode is probably just the whole dance other than the Puck stuff. Mm-hmm. The Puck and Kitty stuff. I just think it's so fun. And like you said earlier, like I love when this... shows just like high school things, like just like so high schooly things. I'm obsessed. What about you? What's your best part?
I mean, best song, Tell 'Em, cut print, moving on. best part, there is a lot of stuff in this episode that I like. I feel like I say this all the time. I love just having the show be about a group of kids instead of like one singular kid or two singular kids. Like the dynamics of Tina versus Blaine versus Sam versus Brittany versus Marley versus Jake, and like how all of those characters are interweaving with each other and interacting is so interesting to me. And so how high school actually works. And so it's just very refreshing to see. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love that.
What is your worst part?
My worst part is cut print moving on, the Kitty and Puck stuff. It is so fucked up to me. This show, and it's like weird, blurry morals, and it's like shoehorning of like its older characters into the lives of the younger characters. It doesn't make any GD sense. If I ever had a friend who was dating like someone who had graduated high school and was being like this, I would so step in and be like, this is so disgusting. Bye. So gross. I hate it. What's your worst part?
I mean, I could pick something else, but
why would you? Because even the stuff in New York is like, you know, it's not even comparable to this.
Yeah. The other stuff is just like, I'm bored.
Wow. Rachel's annoying. Yeah. what's new?
But specifically the fact that the writers clearly want us to think that they're cute together.
Yes.
Like, in a relationship where Kitty is just dating Puck to make Jake jealous, and Puck is just dating Kitty because he's a douchebag, I would already be like, this should not be on this show. But then for the writers on top of that to be like, no, but they also actually kind of understand each other, and this is going to be one of our couples moving forward that you root for. No, it is not.
You can't.
I will not be rooting for them.
I've got free will. You can't make me. I totally agree. All right.
We never talked about an assignment of the week. It technically, like, what would we do if you had to ask someone to a dance with a song?
Who am I going to ask to the dance?
I'm going to see, like, I'm going to try and keep it period specific. It's going to be my senior year. What would be on the radio?
Huh. Okay. Ooh, you know, Shut Up and Dance With Me was big in 2015. I'll do that.
That's an excellent pick. It's also made popular by a male lead singer, so it completes the second theme.
That would be so cute. Also, what a great song to like ask someone to a dance. I think I almost thought about doing that, but I didn't ever.
Oh my gosh. You know what was huge my senior year of high school?
Yeah, what?
That Justin Timberlake album. The 2020 experience, that thing was inescapable.
I couldn't even tell you what song.
It's like in my mirror. Oh, Way-ho. My mirror looking back at me. And it's the long as I got my suit and tie.
Oh my God, that song was everywhere.
That, like, for real. I had a bunch
of Barney Stinson guys at my high school who that song was like their anthem.
Of course. God. Of course. But I want to do something that's sung by a woman. So, bye, Justin. Sorry. You know what? Red came out my senior year. Maybe we'll do 22.
Perfect.
We're going to sing 22 by Taylor Swift.
Amazing. That works so well for the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Me asking someone doesn't work well for a Sadie Hawkins dance, so I might as well lean into
it. Is there a song on Red?
What else is Red? I can only think of.
We're never getting back together.
Yeah, I can either think of angry songs, or I can think of like
version.
You are the absolute love of my life. I can't think of any like. Let's just go have fun.
Ooh, that would be fun. Wait, that would be kind of everything.
I knew you were trouble.
Yeah, like no apologies. He'll never see you cry. It's certainly not.
Fine, I'll do. I knew you were trouble, and we'll do the goat scream version.
Cool. Perfect. All right.
Well, that's Sadie Hawkins Dance in My Khaki Pants, everyone. If you have thoughts about this episode, email us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, you can. At recoveringgleek_podcast on TikTok and Instagram. At recoveringgleek at Twitter. On Twitter. You can support this podcast by rating and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. Please help get the word out there. It'd be very helpful to us. We also have a Patreon if you want any of that sweet, sweet exclusive content. We got some bonus episodes. We got an episode about Glee fan fiction. We got an episode about the Glee concert movie. If you sign up for our higher tier, you also get vlogs from us. And you get a shout out at the end of our episodes, which is coming up right about now.
Here's a special thank you for Fanson, Nadia, Savannah, Fadia, Meadow, Nicole, Allie, Jackson, Tori, Golly, Caitlin, Garbage, Maddie, Abigail, Kodiak, Kristen, Annie, Story, Natasha, Liz, Eileen, Mariah, Manuel, Mallory, Sarah and Matilda, Rebecca, Libby, Eve, Jordan, Andrew and Elizabeth and Christina and Dell and Sarah and Ari and Liam and Riley and Juliana and Stephanie, Haley and Raphael, Marissa, Rin, Taylor and Kimberly, Carlin, Frankie, Dana and Turning the Page. Here's more thank yous for Chase and Finley, Jocelyn and Margaret, Desmina, Liz, Sarah and Josie, Nash and Aaron and Alana and Marin and Hannah and Phoebe and Kaylee and Caitlin and Megan and Emily and Aria and Jeremy and Beatrice, Eva, Haley and Emily, Anaya, Michelle, Lauren and Audrey, Marcus, Lisa, Fours, Jacqueline, Spencer, Elise, Troy, Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe, Hannah, Laura, Ray, Emily, Alyssa, Charlie, Lily, Melanie, Yanula, Samantha, Sam, Jennifer, and we're turning the page. Aubrey, Stephanie, Kat, Kelsey, Haley, Tiffany, Emily, Leah, Kelsey, Isabel, Amira, Thomas, Chucho, Cyrus, Brittany, Victoria, Aaliyah, Naomi, Haley, Ravi, Andy, Kenzie, and Rhiannon, and Ashley, and Roman, and Tara, and Michael, and Andre, and Kate, and Will, and Elizabeth, and Freddie, and Sinead, and Emma, and Turtle, and Allison! Woo! Huge thank you to our patrons. We love our patrons so much. We love them so dearly. Thanks so much for being here, you all.
Everyone have a great week. Have a good time at the Sadie Hawkins dance khaki pants.
Let us know who you're inviting.
Yeah. Let us know who that lucky person is that you're taking, baby.
Well, I hope you for real have the best week ever. Here is a kiss on your forehead from me to you consensually, of course.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
My pits are so sweaty.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.